Look down, if you will, in verse 8. Verse 8. The Bible said, "For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." The Apostle Paul's writing here to the folks there at Philippi, in that local New Testament church, I believe is a Baptist church, not maybe in name, but in practice and in its doctrine. But he was writing to that church and explaining to them, and he said, you know, notice how he put it. He said, "How greatly I long after you." And then this I pray in verse 9. He said, this was my prayer. This is the way I was praying for you folks, that your love may abound yet more and more. Notice that you may approve things that are excellent, and that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Boy, I would hope that's what we would want. I would hope that's what we would want. You know, I believe it's the will of God for you and I who are saved to make an impression for Jesus Christ, really in our day, on an absolutely godless generation. And that's our job. We're to make an impression on them. We're to make an impression upon them. Way too often, it's gone the other way. And I think we see that more and more in this day. The world changes the church. And the world changes what the folks do in church. And instead of the church changing the world, it's gone the opposite direction. And I'm not preaching on this tonight, but what I'm just to show you that we live in a day where you can go today in the majority of buildings that have a word church, or that you figure out by what they do have up there that it's supposed to be a church. And if you go in there, you would, if you didn't know better, if you were let in blindfolded, you might think you were in a nightclub. I mean, I'll never forget going to a meeting one time that was held in a place that was noted in years past for its great testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. But when I went in, the lights were all off except up on the stage area. And yeah, I didn't say platform, I said stage area. And there were smoke machines going. And in the crowd, they were knocking beach balls around. And I started to go back out and look over the door and see if I was where I thought I was, you know. But, hey, we're no longer, so often, we've allowed the church to be influenced by the world. It's supposed to be the other way around. It's just supposed to be the other way around. But, and I'm convinced in this day, for a drive, that people want a crowd. And it's easier to get a crowd if you'll entertain them. Easier to get a crowd if you will entertain them than it is if you preach the truth to them, all right? So we see all of that made. But look, all that said, just moving on, I want this church to make an impression, at least in this area, for the Lord Jesus Christ. If there was a church, somebody said, well, that's that kind of church. Well, I want them to think of this church. If it's that kind of church that still preaches the Bible and makes a big thing over the Word of God. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we're the only one in the county that does. I don't believe that. But if folks want to do it, I want them to know this is that kind of church. This is that kind of church. Now, if you want to be entertained, have at it. You know, I'm not going there. I'm going to keep going. I keep going down here. Stay with my notes here, all right? But if we're going to have any kind of effective influence for the Lord Jesus Christ on the world, there's things we need to do. But here's the problem. Go back to Matthew chapter 5, would you? Matthew chapter 5. We're to have an impact upon this world. We're to leave an impression with them. But here's the problem. We've lost some of the things. In becoming like the world, we lose some things. Matthew 5, look at verse 13. The Bible said, ye are the what? What's that word? Salt of the earth. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Hey, I'll tell you, I think we're losing our salt. We're losing that salt. Salt has a very distinctive flavor. I've never, you know, if you ever mistook the salt shaker for the sugar bowl, say, well, how would you do that? I don't know. Late at night, maybe. I don't know. And, you know, you licked your finger and stuck it in there thinking you were going to come out with sugar, and you came out with salt. You had no eye. You didn't have to go, that tastes a little different. No, you knew it. Salt's got that very distinctive flavor. Hey, the Bible says we're to have a distinctiveness about us, the church, but we're losing that saltiness. But look at the next verse. The Bible said, you're the light of the world. Light of the world. That's what we're to be. We're to be the salt. We're to be the light of this world. We're to be that which illuminates the darkness, all right? We're to be involved in that. We're to be that which preserves the world, that saltiness. And we're losing that kind of thing. You say, well, preacher, how do we do it? How do we stay with it, all right? Go to Acts chapter 4, all right? Acts chapter 4. There's about four things I want to mention tonight. And just to kind of draw your attention to them, it bothers me that we as God's people, and I don't mean just you and me, you know, us and no more. I mean those people that used to really take a stand for Christ, and there was a multitude. It bothers me that we've quit doing that, all right? And the world is going the wrong way. We even live in what's known as a post-Christian world. In other words, after Christianity. We're losing influence. Well, how can we keep it? Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Notice what the Bible said. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Now, the Bible said these people are looking at Peter and John. And they looked at them, and I don't want you to think that they were necessarily considered to be country bumpkins. But they looked at them and they said, here's some unlearned. These fellows have never had what maybe would be called the benefit of education, a lot of education. And they're unlearned, they're ignorant. Now, we're all ignorant about something. But they placed emphasis on that. But perceiving that they were unlearned, the Bible said they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That they had been with Jesus. I think of those words. I think of the words to a song that said, I've been with Jesus. And I'm so happy. I can feel him in my soul. In love he sought me. With blood he bought me. I've been with Jesus. And I am made whole. Hey, isn't it a wonderful thing if we would leave here and go somewhere instead of, if we didn't go directly home, and people would say, well, where have you been? Where have you been? Man, you know, to be able to tell there's a difference. Something has happened. And these folks there in Acts chapter 4, the Bible said they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You say, what's that going to take? I believe it's going to mean you and I, if we're going to maintain that influence on the world and we're going to live for God in a godless world, then we need to live a much more consecrated Christian life. I won't even say it this way. We need to really be serious about our Christian life. Well, people are serious about everything under the sun, but not their Christian life. You know, we're focused on everything else out there, but not our Christian life. Hey, a dedicated, a devoted life, all right? In the New Testament days, folks took note of the fact that the lives of believers were different. Those people are different. They're different, all right? Now, it does not mean that they only wore homespun clothes. All right, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that we talk with thee and thou. You know, how art thou today? You know, we don't have to talk like that. But there ought to be something about us, all right? And I'll be honest with you, the more time you spend with the Lord, it'll rub off on you. I was thinking about speaking tonight, thinking of an illustration. I've got a friend that lives in Savannah, Georgia. And Brother Jesse Payton has a distinctive Southern Georgia drawl. And it just so happened years ago, I had occasion to be there for about 2 days, 3 days. And when I came back, I found myself talking like him. I didn't do it on purpose, but I mean, it just rubbed off on me, okay? Just from listening to him and hearing him talk, his speech pattern and the way he kind of, I don't know if the drawl is a word or what, but anyway, it was there, all right? Hey, wouldn't it be wonderful if the more time we'd spend with the Lord and we'd spend enough time with him that the world would look and say, man, there's something different. Now, they might not figure out what it was, okay? They might not figure out what it is, but they ought to see it. Hey, we live in a godless world. We live in a world surrounded by wickedness, by evil. But we've got a Bible through which God speaks to us. Can I say this to you? We've got the Bible, same Bible today they had in the late first century. We got the same Bible. We've got the same Bible that we've had now for hundreds of years. And then we also have the privilege of prayer. The privilege of prayer. To literally go into the presence of God. To be there. and to know what it is to spend time with the Lord, to talk to him, and at the same time have him speak to us. Just remind you, through those things, we tap into the great power of God. And then on top of it, we have the Holy Ghost of God living in us. That Holy Spirit that indwells us. Now, you've heard it said, I've said it, I've heard it said. We have to yield to him. We have to yield ourselves to him. I was speaking today to the kids in our Christian school and talking to them. And I went to school planning to speak in chapel. I had what I was going to speak and what I was going to say outlined, laid out. And I thought, this is what I'm going to talk to them about. But there were some instances before school started. Kids being kids, but being too much of a kid, all right? Taking it too far. And then it caused me to think of other situations that I know are there in the school student body. And so I decided I'm going to speak to them on something that I know touches them. And that is Ephesians 4:32, where the Bible said, be ye kind one to another. And I'd say to them the same thing I might say to you. It's easy for us to handle the big things. It's easy for us to handle what we might call the big things. You know, I asked them, hey, what's one of the Ten Commandments do you know? Well, I'll think about it a little bit. For instance, thou shalt have no other God before me. I don't think any of you have a problem with that. You don't get up in the morning and think, okay, I can't go out to my shrine in the garage and kneel in front of Buddha. We don't have that problem. And the truth of the matter is, it's those things that really ought to be considered little things that we struggle with. Those things, but wait a minute, those are things that show up in your everyday life all the time, every day. every day. Those are the things that will definitely come to light and show up if you've been with Jesus. You can't help it. How many of you have ever roller skated in your life? You've roller skated, okay? Did you have the same experience I would after I took them off? And I'd roller skated for a while, maybe an hour or so. And then you take them off and you still want to go. You still want to glide, you know, all right? You can't do it, okay? Hey, wouldn't it be a good thing if we'd spent enough time with God that it just showed up? It just sort of oozed out of us, if you will. It'd be something that, not something you had to force, but something that just came out. It was just there. Why? Well, I've been with Him. Been with Him, and I just can't help myself, if you will. Hey, we need to live a more consecrated Christian life if we're going to put an impression on this world. But I'll tell you something else I think we need. Take your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I believe it's so important, and there's so many people today that are messed up on this that it's kind of amazing. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Yeah, I think I did it. It's 1 Timothy chapter 3. Yeah, 1 Timothy chapter 3. I got carried away making Roman numerals when I was making my notes. 1 Timothy 3, look at verse 15. Notice what the Bible said. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Now, look, we need to have the right concept of a New Testament church. We need to have the right concept. Our Lord planted the church here that we might have a medium through which we could do His work in the world. The work of God in the world is always to be done through local churches. Local New Testament churches. Now, it doesn't mean you can't maybe band together for some cause, but the work of God is to be done through the local New Testament church. It is not to be done, it is not to be done, my friend, through, you know, parachurch organizations. It's to be done through the church. All right, where to do that? Because the church is an organization that God left here and left for us to carry out the work of God, all right? It's to carry out the Great Commission. Look, this is not to be an entertainment complex. But now I'm going to tell you straight out, I really have a good time at church. I enjoy myself at church. I don't come to church and say, all right, now I have to remember this is a somber, sober time. No, you can have a good time. All right, you can enjoy it. But it's not an entertainment place. You don't come and us get up here and say, let me entertain you, all right? We're not here for that purpose. All right? It's here to carry out the work of God. Hey, it's not a social club. It's not that. Don't get mad, but it's not a Goodwill store. I had a fellow call me Monday. He called the school, and I saw the name that showed up on the phone, and I thought, man, I can't believe it. Well, sure enough, it wasn't the guy whose name that I thought it was. It was his son. And it's a fellow that used to come to our church. He rode the bus for years, came to our church. Dad was a member of our church. And this fellow on the phone was wanting help. And he told me, he said, I've talked to, I forget, maybe 10 or 11 churches this morning before, and said, nobody will help me. And he said, I started over here in somewhere in Hurst, and he's worked this way. And he said, nobody will help me. He said, I don't understand it. I didn't know what church is for. Well, I didn't have time to preach him a sermon, so I didn't say, no, that ain't the purpose of the church. But I talked to him a little bit. And I'm going to tell you this, it's heartbreaking. Amen. It's heartbreaking to see where they that family is. Now it's third generation. Don't tell you, bud, you get it that messed up, you can get it really messed up. And it doesn't take long to get it messed up. And it was heartbreaking to me. But yet, they're like a lot of other people. They think the church is merely a social, benevolent organization, and it exists to give people money. You know, I'm not sure if you were to ask those folks, where do you think that money comes from? We don't run a business. It's not a business. We don't operate a business here. We don't have continual bake sales or, those kind of things. We don't do that. Where do they think that comes from? Well, they have a misconception of what a church is. Amen. Misconception of what a church is. Now, surely you don't have that misconception. Look, the church is really a platform for the preaching of the Word of God. The church is that. Notice what it said. The pillar and ground of the truth. Now, a pillar is something to hold something up. And what the church holds up is the truth. We hold up the truth. It's the ground of the truth. We stand for what? The truth.
Amen.
The truth. And that truth is found in this book. In the Word of God. That's what we do here, okay? And it's the preaching of the Word of God. All of that preaching is not always geared for the salvation of souls, but it all eventually is for the salvation of souls.
Amen.
I'm not preaching to you tonight a salvation message and saying you need to get right with God, you need to hit the altar and call upon the Lord and ask Him to save your soul. If you're here tonight and you're lost, that's what you need to do.
Amen.
But as far as I know, that's not you. You're either lied to me or you're saved, all right? You've trusted the Lord. So, but you said, well, how about that? Then the preaching of the Word of God is to challenge us, all right? To challenge us. And if we have the right concept of a church, we'll love it just like Jesus Christ did.
Amen.
Just like Jesus Christ did. That's when it amazes me when I visit people. People that I've known. People who I know. I know their parents. I knew them. They went to church. They were faithful in church. And now you knock on their door. I don't go anywhere. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I want to go. Hey, dingbat, show me where it says that. It just overwhelms me. Now, wait a minute. I'm not talking about lost people.
No, sir.
I'm talking about people that profess Jesus Christ as their Savior. They say, I'm saved. I know it. If you were to ask them, say, I'm going to heaven, no doubt about it. Well, you're going to be in a mess when you get there, buddy. Because God left something on this earth for you, and you said, I don't need it. Hey, look. We need the right concept of a local church. All right? We need to live more consecrated Christian lives. We need the right concept of a New Testament church. Romans chapter 1. See the third thing. The third thing we want to see. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. The Bible says, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Not only do we need to live a more consecrated Christian life, not only do we need to have the right concept of a local church, but we need to have a revival of missionary zeal. A revival of missionary zeal. Now here's the problem. When I use the word missionary, people think, all right, you want me to give more. Yes, but not what you're thinking. Not what you're thinking. See, missionary zeal is where you realize. Now, did you see what Paul said? He said, I'm ready. as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. He was testifying. You said, preacher, I wasn't called to preach. I understand. But you were commissioned to go and tell. We're commissioned to go and tell. And it's easy for us to lose that and figure that's somebody else's job. But you need a concept and you need a grasp of this fact. It's for every one of us. It's for every one of us to be involved in telling somebody. In Timothy, Paul told Timothy, hey, the things you've seen and heard and learned, you're to commit to faithful men also. And they're to commit it to faithful men. They're to keep passing it down, all right? I'm glad somebody told me how to get to heaven. Glad somebody told me how to get to heaven. And it's my job to tell somebody else how to go. Now, not just one. I told one, preacher, I got saved. Told one, since I've been saved. Dumb job. No, you didn't, all right? No, you didn't. You just keep telling, all right? You keep passing out tracts. You have that zeal that says, hey, I know something good. You need to know it. You need to know it. You know, somebody said, well, I'm just, preacher, I'm just bashful. I'm just bashful. Mm-hmm, sure, sure. Then you get involved in Amway. Okay? Then you get involved in Amway. I'm not against Amway. I'm preaching against Amway. But it's amazing to me these bashful people all of a sudden can go around to people and say, hey, I want you to come with me to a meeting. I just want you to come to a meeting with me, all right? I think it'd be beneficial for you. I think it could be a help. I think you might really enjoy it. We can talk about Amway that way, but we can't invite people to church that way. I mean, just come on. We can invite them to join something else, you know. Right now, I can't think of any other multi-level marketing thing. Amway is the one that really stands out. But, and I'm not against them, but they're there. But that shy person becomes a, you know, woo, all out, all in. I tell you about it. I just tell you, man, you know, it's the best thing ever been. And you get people in. But when it's the Lord, no, I'm shy. I'm bashful. I can't do that. Now, really what we mean is I won't do it. Hey, we need a renewal, a revival of that missionary zeal. Now, I will say this, that the reason we're having a mission conference, it is to keep missions turning at First Baptist Church. It is to keep us challenged to give, to get the gospel around this world. That everybody, as much as we can do, we'll get the gospel to everybody we can. However we can do it, all right? We support Brother Sharp. Brother Sharp, a lot of his work involves building radio stations. There are parts of this world, man, radio is a marvelous instrument for getting the gospel out. People listen to the radio in their home, not in their car. And only time I listen, well, that's not quite true, but mostly the time I listen to the radio is in my car. All right? But I mean, there's a lot of places in this whole world, radio is a big thing. Get the thing to get the gospel out. I'm in favor of whatever we can do. But it takes us to get involved. It means personal giving. But at the same time, we're to be personally going. We don't just bring missionaries in and say, okay, I'm going to pay you to do what I'm supposed to be doing. Now, we can't do that, all right? We can't do that. We got to do our end of it, all right? And just every way, any way you can, we need that revival. If we're going to make it, if we're going to live in this old godless world, we need to remember that. Go with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 is one other thing that just want to challenge you with, if I could tonight. Matthew chapter 24. And by the way, I need to hear everything I'm saying tonight, okay? Everything I'm saying, I need to hear it too. I'm preaching to all of us, all right? Matthew 24, if you will, look down in verse 44. The Bible says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. We need to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ may come back at any moment. At any moment. You said, why? Because that is what ought to give us a sense of urgency about what it is we're doing. Okay, I'm going to live a more consecrated life, and I'm going to start working on that first day of March. I'm going to get started. I'm going to start reading my Bible then. And I started January the 1st, and I did okay for about a week. And I just slipped up, and so I'm going to take a little time off. No, don't do that. I don't know if you ever had to miss a meal. There have been occasions when I've missed lunch. Never because I planned it. It just happened, all right? But occasions where I missed lunch. I've never come in the evening and talking to Susie and said, oh, darling, look, I missed lunch. I'll just start again tomorrow. I'll just start eating tomorrow again. I never have done that. I bet you haven't either, okay? Look, we need the sense of urgency. It's now. It's now. Because the Lord's coming. He could come. He might come back at any moment, any day. I've got to be doing everything I can do right now. That fact right there ought to cause us to push forward with everything we've got, all of the energy we can muster, knowing that our time to reach the lost is really short. Really short. We don't have time to waste. We don't have time to fritter it away. We can't say, I'll think about that, and I'll start praying. No, we need to be doing it. We need to be involved in those things. Hey, listen, I just tonight just wanted to challenge you, okay? I want you to realize, we're living in a godless world, a vile, wicked world. But what that ought to do for us is stir us to realize, hey, I can make a difference. I can make a difference. Wouldn't it be a good thing? Wouldn't it be just a wonderful thing if people would see us and they'd say, I bet you go to that First Baptist Haltom City. So I just want to tell you something. That wouldn't be an insult. That'd be a good thing. And not because you're a weirdo.
No, sir. No, sir.
There's some weirdos out there. Not because you're that, but because, hey, you've been with Jesus. I can see it in your life. I can see it. You say, preacher, I've got so far to go to do. All right, start headed that way, though, would you? Start heading that direction. School. I got kids, you know, and they're there in school, and I say, all right, break's over. There's some immediately when they hear that, to the bathroom.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
I've got to go to the bathroom. Well, you've had 15 minutes. Yeah, I've got to go now, though.
Yeah,
That's where I'm headed. Wait a minute. Hey, you as a Christian, we realize the Lord's coming back. It ought to stir us to say, Lord, I'm going to do my best to live a consecrated life to you. I'm going to do my best to just have a devotion and a dedication to you. Spend as much time as I can with you. People might take note and say, man, you've been with Jesus. And that I would have the right concept of a church, what it is, and its job, what it does. And then there might be stirred within me a revival of missionary zeal. All under that urgency of, he could come back today. I've got to do what I've got to do. I've got to take care of it. Got to take care of it. Listen, would you think about it? Would you take a look at yourself? Where am I headed? Where are you going? Are you headed in that direction? Need to change some things? Need to clean up some things? Well, I challenge you. Let's do it. Let's do it. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, you'd speak to us. Lord, what a thrill it is to be a child of God. What a blessing it is to know we're saved. We're going to heaven. Lord, at the same time, we have to be challenged that you've left us here to do a job for you. We're living in a godless world, but we need to make an impression on this whole world. We're to stand for you. We're to stand for godliness and righteousness. We're to live it. Put it on display. Lord, would you help us? Encourage us. Lord, help stay focused on what we're to be.